Tim's service, really emphasizing hope. And using this document, I brought my copy with me, that he calls Have Boundless Hope in Me. And of course, a great verse we have for that is in Ephesians, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. I like that one. I mean, his ability is so far beyond anything that we could even think. And I believe a lot of times our asking is way too small. So I'm not going to try and go into there, but redo what Tim did this morning. But have boundless hope in me. I do want to read this one part. He says, have boundless hope, son. I am instructing you to have boundless hope in me. I desire to so expand your mind. Now, if he says this to one, he says it to all. I desire to so expand your mind and to so expand even your capacity to ask beyond all bounds that you presently operate in. Have boundless hope in me. So he's talking about hope. Now, to get into the God kind of hope, you have to understand this about God, which he says about himself here. He says, first off, there are no limits to my love. You've got to get that straight. There are no limits to his love. He says, there are no limits to my power. There are no limits to my faith. One time he said to me, now this is a sidebar, he said to me one time, you know what the gift of faith really is? He says, if you come to the end of your faith, I'll let you operate on mine. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay. There are no limits to my resources. See, the earth and all that's in it, the silver, the gold, that may be under the enemy's control, but it is not under the enemy's ownership. There's only one owner. Anyway, we could preach right there. There are no limits to what I can do. That's one half of the coin. The other half, there are no limits to what I desire to do. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, that is who I am. Who I am. What did he say his name was? You tell Pharaoh, I am. And I am instructing you to have hope without boundary. So in the first service, he really emphasized hope, and so there's prophecies here that there was just no time to read them all. I would treasure that document if I was you. I would go over that again and again and again until, because the enemy is the opposite of hope. It's all over. This is it. This is as good as it gets. In fact, it's probably going to get worse from here. Probably ought to just quit. Probably ought to just kill yourself. You know, I mean, that's the devil, you know. He is the God of unhope. he's the God of despair. The God of he's the opposite, see. And the whole world, if you want to know the truth of it, is flowing his way. The whole world. That's why you can't be caught up in that stream. Pastor Dave would often use the analogy of the salmon swimming upstream. And the whole world is going downstream. And they all think you're crazy, but you're the only one got any sense. You've been listening to God. You're going the opposite direction. So the first service was emphasizing hope. And I have a series at the website called The God of Hope that really explores that. The Bible calls our Father the God of Hope. Okay. But then the second service, you got to learn how to stand on the promises. And really that's a twofold cord. Not only the promises that are to us all, but the individual promises. The individual promise. See, in a way, at my age now, I'm so glad it's not a promise to all of us that we're going to have a baby at age 99. I have some witnesses here. Sue and I, we just glorify God every year. We love our kids, but please not at this age now, you know. Hallelujah. You know. All you do is you babysit your grandkids for about 1 week, and you'll recognize God's wisdom to have children when you're young. Hallelujah. But it's not only the promises of the written word, it's the promises to you individually, which Tim normally calls the blueprint. Romans 4, to me, is one of the best little, you know, short passages in Scripture that illustrates perfectly the combination of godly hope with standing on the promise. Now, so what? First off, you got to understand verse 16. When it comes to the promises of God, now not your individual blueprint, but when it comes to things like Alan was talking about, Alan gave us these scriptures. One of them was the one that I used all those years ago when the enemy was trying to sink us financially in the early days, and it was because I had been brought up to believe that if you really had God, you couldn't have anything. You had to be poor. And so every time I'd go running after God, it was in me, even though intellectually, see, if you knew me then, intellectually I could argue against that. But what I was at my core is what would happen. And every time I'd run after God, we'd go broke. Every single time. Because intellectually I knew better, but in my heart I didn't know better. See, faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. Okay? So you know the story with me, getting me fully persuaded, and what we're really going to be talking about tonight, hope is wonderful. But if you don't become fully persuaded regarding what God said, that hope will never manifest in your life. It takes both, and that's what Romans 4 teaches us how to do it, teaches us exactly how to do it. Now, in my case, back then, one of the verses that Alan had on provision was Psalms 34:10. That happens to be one of the verses that I would walk the floor and quote 4 hours a day back in those early days. Do you know that after it doesn't take 4 hours a day for a week to memorize three verses? You do it for 4 hours, trust me, you've got to memorize. That doesn't mean you have it. That doesn't mean you have it in your heart. Believing God is a spiritual thing. I think last time we were together, we talked about the difference between mental knowledge and spiritual discernment. And I made this bold statement that I'd never made before. I thought about it later. I thought about having Angie edit it off, but I know it's the truth. I said, if somehow we could take all the knowledge that Pastor Dave has, and somehow mentally we could transfer that to you, and you had it, you could quote everything the same as him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you can walk in the same power or the same anointing or the same gifting as him. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just because you have it in your head doesn't mean you can walk in it in your heart yet. So one of the verses, I remember Psalms 34:10. 4 hours a day for weeks and months. I hate to admit that I was so spiritually dense that it took that long to break that stronghold. Let's just read it here. Psalms 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Well, at that moment, we were lacking every good thing. We were behind on the rent, behind on the gas, behind. You ever been one of those deals where you pay the rent this month and the gas next month, and then you're juggling track because you can't pay them all, so you're trying to keep them from shutting off utilities, and that's the way we were, you know. And if we're out of gas, we didn't have any credit cards either then, and so if you're out of gas, you just don't go anywhere. You walk around the backyard and pray in tongues till you do get some gas, you know. I mean, anyway. But I would say that, and I'd say that, and oh, boring, and my mind would just, oh, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. I got this. Somewhere up there he's going, no, you don't. I got this, God. Look, I don't have to look at the verse, you know. I could just quote it. No, you don't have it. You don't have it. Over and over and over. Little visions, little movies began to run in me. I began seeing this young lion. Anyone ever see The Lion King? I've seen The Lion King, you know, the movie, you know. Young lions. Boy, if there's any creature on God's earth that is equipped to provide for itself, it's a young lion in its prime. I mean, the teeth and the power of those jaws and the spring that's in those legs to jump out on its prey and the vision that it has, everything. I mean, if there was any creature on earth that should never be in lack, it would be a young lion in its prime. Yet this says, and you know it's true, there could be drought, there could be a fire, there could be all kinds of things that maybe even a young lion, notice it says a young lion, could be, it might not be the lion's fault at all. A drought, you know, here you could say recession, you could say whatever, you know, it may not be your fault, but you might be in, a young lion might hunger and suffer, like there might be a time. But those that seek the Lord, young lion or old lion, young man or old man, those that seek the Lord, you talk about a promise from God, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I still remember the day. Now there was two other verses that went with, I had three of these. I would just say them and say them. I remember the day something went clunk, something, it dropped from my head to my heart. To this day, I cannot improve. It's like I had lived in one room for my whole life. And suddenly, I stepped across the threshold into a different room. That was a room of provision. That was a room of faith. That was a room of solid knowledge that God cannot lie. And somehow I became, I wouldn't have phrased it this way then, but I'm going to phrase it that way now because it is what happened. Gary Carpenter became fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. That was the bottom of our roller coaster ride. From then, has there been any dips and ups? Oh yeah, but never like that. And never despair like that either. Never that despair. Something happens to you. We're going to get to it. Against hope, there wasn't any natural hope. There was no, for us, there wasn't any natural hope at all. God had put us out on a limb of ministry and cut the tree off behind us. He didn't allow me to get a job. I'm a worker. I have a good work ethic. Anybody that knows me, I like to work, you know. And he forbid me to get one. We weren't in a church situation where we're receiving any salary or any tithe of any kind. We were not receiving anything from the government. No kind of, people ask me all the time, how did you really do it? I go, I don't know. I go back, I can't make the numbers add up myself. But somehow we survived, you know. And in the natural, though, there was nothing I could look to in the natural. Couldn't look to a raise. I didn't have a job. He wouldn't let me get one. Couldn't look to the church offerings. We weren't receiving any church offerings. Couldn't look to the government to receive any money because they don't know. All they want is my taxes. They're not sending me any money, you know. Who against hope believed in hope. Where did my hope come from? The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And other ones like Matthew 6 up here. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was in me at the time. I'm going, well, he promised that. So let's look at, did you find Romans 4? First off, you have to understand verse 16 before we even get down here. We're going to look at Abraham, how hope and the promises go together. But look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Now he's talking about the promises. It is of faith that it might be by grace. Let's stop for a moment. These promises are not just for the educated. They're not just for the uneducated. It's not just for the young people, but it's not just for the old people. It's not for the black people. It's not just for the white people, polka-dotted, striped, whatever people. No, he set it up on purpose. Now, he could have set it up any way he want to, but he set it up on purpose. I'm going to make this by grace so that they can receive it by faith. Why? To the end, the purpose, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Hello, seed. If you can believe it, you have it. That he made it free. He made it free. Jesus, I love how Alan, I can't repeat it Exactly, but I love how Alan said it today. No, there's some promises that are based on your obedience, or especially in your blueprint. But he's talking about, we're talking about the promises that Jesus has already paid the price for you to have. That is free to all the seed. Amen? But it's by faith. It's not by grace alone. It is by faith. And you can work on your faith. Faith grows. Faith matures. All right. So let's come on down here. I want to look at Abraham specifically, because he is, to me, our perfect example of a man who took the promises of God and mixed it with hope, godly hope, in order to have the manifestation of something absolutely impossible. God says, I'm the God of the impossible. All things are possible to whom? To him that what? To believeth. See? So, starting in verse 17, here's the promise. As it is written, this is the promise. I have made thee a father of many nations. Stop. That's the promise. And it's still the promise when Abraham is 99 years old. It's still the promise. The only child Abraham has at that time is Ishmael. He tries to talk God. Abraham is the original Jew, you know. He tries to talk God. He does. Into allowing Ishmael to be the heir. But see, Ishmael is a product of the flesh. Ishmael is a product of trying to help God. Ishmael is a product of, oh, I can help you. This must be what you mean. In accordance with today's teaching, Alan would say, this is how we're going to fix it. Let me tell you something. Gary Carpenter's mind is a fix-it mind. I can generate every problem that comes. I can generate 27 ways to fix it quickly, and not one of them be God. Am I in the right church? You know what I'm talking about? And everyone will give you attaboys and slaps on the back and pats and join with you to help on all these ventures that are not God at all. Okay? So God's looking at this, and this is why in Romans 9, 10, and 11, somewhere Paul writes, he says, no, the promise was that in Isaac, thy seed shall be called, not Ishmael. Now, this has to be a supernatural operation of God. So, it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, when God first told that to him, and this is a review a little bit of last week. I had no idea what the day was coming. But when God first told that to Abraham, Abraham didn't have much of a problem with it. He says, that says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But at that time, Abraham was still able to produce children physically. Said it pretty good. Because the incident with Hagar occurs after that. See, it's one thing for God to tell you, you're going to have a child when you still have the ability to produce. Let's say it another way. It's one thing for God to tell you Zama Zama is going to happen when in your mind, me and God are going to get this done. It's another thing when you're 99 and your wife is 90 and she's not ovulating anymore. So let's look at it for a moment. Go back, that's Genesis 17. Go back to Genesis 17. Now, this is not the first time that God has told him he's going to have a child. You have to go back to Genesis way earlier than this. But time went on. Now, we're told how old Abram is here. Genesis 17. When Abram was 90 years old and 9. We know how old he is, right? Now, with that thought in mind, come down to verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Well, if you underline, I would underline, I will bless her. And if he doesn't, she's not going to have this job. Because it's past the time of the way of women. He has to be in operation here. Anyway, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Is that a pretty good promise? But notice Abram this time. Now, he didn't do this the first time. Decades before, when the Lord first told him he was going to have a child while he was still kind of a hot rod himself. He didn't laugh then. Oh, yeah. Me and God. But now it's all God. Because he has no capacity to help. He has no capacity to participate. So then Abraham fell upon his face this time and laughed. Now, I used to wonder if maybe he was laughing for joy. But if you're going to leave it in the context like Dave taught us, he tells you why he's laughing. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He thinks this is that God's messing with him. God, you're so funny, God. Why would you tell me something like that? That's so funny. He's laughing. And this is where he negotiates for Ishmael. Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. In other words, can Ishmael be the heir? And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him. See, and that's where Paul gets, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, he don't even have an Isaac yet. This very Isaac is the very one God's talking about. You're going to have a baby. And Abraham laughed. Because he can't help. I mean, this is funny to him. When God usually comes and talks to you and says something he wants you to do, trust me, the tendency is to laugh. You must be talking about Dave. You must be talking about Alan, Tim, somebody. Can't be talking about me. Then the Lord says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now, come on over into chapter 18. Look at verse 9. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah, what did she do? She laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Now, you understand what she means, right? Abraham cannot help. Sarah cannot help. There's no eggs to even be fertilized. And obviously, Abraham cannot help. They're laughing. And this is important. This is in here for a reason. With that attitude there, you got that? They're thinking pretty natural here. Okay, now come over to Romans 4. You don't have to keep your place there. Pick it up in verse 17 again now. Here we go. This is the promise. We just looked at it. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. By the way, that's the way God talks a lot. I have given thee the land. When at that moment they didn't possess one square inch of the land. I have made thee a father of many nations when he didn't have a child. I have this and I have that. God calls those things which be not as though they were. And that's one of the main reasons why we have these calling in the lost things. Because if you're going to function in the faith of the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, you're going to have to learn to call those things which be not as though they were. But anyway, that's another lesson. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Now the first lesson today was have boundless hope in me. When God came, when Abraham was young, and showed him the vision of the stars, and he wasn't young, but he was able to produce, okay? He was still in his mind, yes, me and God. Okay? He didn't laugh then. Oh yeah, this is possible. Yeah. But then when God comes with the same promise at age 99, and there's no way he can help, now he laughs. But notice, it says, who against hope believed in hope. Sarah and Abraham laughed because there was no hope in the natural. There was absolutely no natural hope. They're going, what? God, you must be funning us. You must be kidding us. What's going on here? I'm not ovulating. My husband isn't, he can't help with this. What? But notice, who against hope believed in hope. Now, where did he get that hope? That's the blueprint. That's the vision. That's the one he showed him in the beginning. Abraham, step outside the tent. Let me show you these stars of heaven. Don't be looking at that empty crib. Quit it. Get out. Don't be looking at your past. Come out here. You can't look at the stars unless you come out of the tent. Isn't that right? Get him out of that empty, looking at that empty crib that they, now that's, I'm supposing, but okay. You know? Quit looking at what has been. I want to show you what shall be. Can't look at the stars from inside the tent. Get out here, boy. And he painted a picture. Hope has everything to do with what you see on the inside. Abraham had to go back to that original blueprint, the promise that God made from the beginning. And he says, well, Sarah, it's obvious you and I, we're not able to do this. And that's why we laughed. But listen, God said this. He said, you remember that night that he took me out there? Yeah. I don't know what all discussions exactly they had. I do know that Sarah, they both changed. Now, Romans 4 focuses on Abraham's faith. You can go to Hebrews chapter 11, and it tells you about Sarah's faith. Because it says she had to go back to the blueprint too. They had to discuss this. Because it says Sarah herself receive strength to conceive seed by faith. God, did you hear that? That is impossible. Women, physically, isn't that impossible? Once it's past the time of the way of women. But all things are possible with our God. To him that believes. They started off not believing. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. You may laugh. What God says. You may laugh. Go back to the blueprint. Meditate it. Go back to His Word. If it's a general promise that you need, what I mean is something that's for all of us, like healing, like Alan was talking today. Your provision, healing, that type of thing. You can go back to the written Word. But then there's other things about your calling. You have to go back to what He said to you. But I'm telling you, that has to become more real in you than your circumstances. And how real were their circumstances? The older I get, the more I appreciate the faith of Abraham and Sarah. 99 years old, one wrinkled old prune, snuggled up against another wrinkled old prune. We're going to have a baby. Against hope, there was no hope. Believed in hope. But they didn't start off that way. They laughed. They had to go back and meditate that blueprint. Think about that blueprint. talk about that blueprint. They also had to be a willing, you know, that chapter there is also where he changed their names. He said, don't you be saying about yourself what you've said your whole life. See, Abraham means I am the father of a multitude. I am the father. Already I am. Why? Because the I am said it, I am. Okay. Change Sarah's name too. Sarah, as I remember, means princess. Princesses grow up to produce heirs to the throne, don't they? God knows what he's doing, see. You have to learn to call those things to be not as though they were. So, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, we go by that one too quick. If Abraham had not worked on his hope on purpose to change it from that laughing, unbelieving, natural way of thinking, if he hadn't gone back and worked on that kind of hope to change it into the God kind of hope based on the blueprint God gave him, if he hadn't have done that, he never would have become the father of many nations. That's what that says. Well, how do you do that? Let's keep reading. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He's still back to the original blueprint. See? Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But now stop for a moment. They started off considering. We just read it. They were considering. That's why they laughed. What do you mean I'm going to have it? Do you know I'm 99? You've heard me say, God will say something to me. There's no way in the world I can afford to do it. I said, God, have you looked at my checkbook? I think I always hear him say, have you looked at mine? But it says they considered not their bodies, but they started off considering it. We just got through looking where they did. Listen, this kind of faith does not come naturally to human beings. Natural human beings call things that are the way they are, and I'll believe it when I see it. Now that's natural, normal human activity, and that's not godly hope at all. See, you have to, against that kind of hope, against those kind of circumstances, you have got to go to God's Word, His general Word, and also His specific Word to you. And against that kind of hope, you've got to become full of His hope. His hope has to become your vision. Okay? So, being not weak in faith. What would be weak in faith? This cannot happen because my body tells me it cannot happen. That's weak faith. Or, I'm just going to make stuff up. Mike, God comes to Mike sitting right there. I always pick Mike because so far he hadn't thrown anything at me. And he says, Mike, my plan for you is to give $20 gazillion to Dave Roberson Ministries. And first off, Mike says, how do you spell gazillion? What is a gazillion? And maybe the most money Mike has ever made in his life is a certain hundred, maybe several hundred thousand dollars a year. I have no idea. But compared to what God says, Mike goes, he starts looking at his past. I've never made more than this amount of money. Nobody in my family's ever made more than this amount of money. I only have this much education. I tried a business once and I failed at that. In fact, I tried 3 times and I failed at all 3 of those. And no. That is considering your own circumstances now dead. And that's what the Bible defines as being weak in faith. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to that which is to come, I press toward the mark. See? Being not weak in faith, he considered not, I'm going to change it just a little, he considered not his present circumstances. Does that be okay? Considered not his own body. Wasn't that his circumstances? His body was dead and Sarah's body was dead concerning child production. Weak faith would be to consider your present circumstances. And it would be to consider your history. See, Abraham and Sarah had already been married for a long time, decades. Never had produced a child. Yet God says, I'm going to bless you. See, the thing of it is, it's the God factor. I will bless her. I will bless her. See? I. Okay. Now, verse 20. So because, verse 19, he says, he was not weak in faith. How was he not weak in faith? He refused to be moved by his circumstances. He refused to be moved by their history. That's strong faith. That would be like Mike saying, God, I have no history for this. I look around me, I have no ability to do this. But God, if you said it, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. See? All right. So verse 20, because of that, then he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Boy, would it have been easy to do. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised. He, if you underline, he, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, God's not really needful of Mike's business knowledge to produce how many gazillion, I said, dollars. He doesn't need Mike's business knowledge. He might use it if he has some. Then again, he might not. He doesn't need Mike's history of producing gazillions. What does he need? He needs Mike to believe what he said and follow instructions. Doesn't get any more complicated than that. If you believe what I said and you do what I say, what he had promised, he is able to perform it. And there are no limits to what he can do. There are no limits. See, I'm convinced now, I'm absolutely convinced that God, one of the reasons that God waited until, he waited until Abraham could not help and Sarah could not help. This had to be life from the dead because Isaac is a type of Christ. Life produced in the womb of a spiritually dead person. Life produced from a spiritually dead race. And it had to be all God. But Mary had to have faith. Mary had to have faith in what the word of the Lord was to her. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mike would say, Lord, if that's what you say, I am not going to consider my business history. I'm not going to consider my business education. I'm not going to consider the fact that I've had 17 businesses in a row fail. I'm making all that up. I'm just, okay, as an example. If you said it, you are able to perform it. See, something went off in me all those years ago, and we're back to square one. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, shall not lack. One day it dawned on my, it took months. One day it dawned on my lightning quick mind. This is about him and not about me. This is his promise. This is what he says, not me. My job is to seek him. His job is to provide. And I was free. I've been free ever since. I've been at this so long now. Y'all know I haven't had a real paycheck since the spring of 1995. I'm almost convinced he's a provider. There are times, though, there's been a few times, not many, there have been a few times where our circumstances would get bad again. And I'd actually lay in the bed thinking, have a little trouble going to sleep maybe. And I'm thinking, you know, I ought to be worried. I mean, these circumstances, these are pretty bad, you know. Shouldn't I be worried? But see, my own soul, which is, it's not moved by faith, my soul, really. My intellect is moved by experience. Yours is too. But my own soul has come to the place it goes, no, he's already delivered us about 1,000 times. He's going to deliver us this time too. Now, that's not really faith. My soul is like just from experience. Has learned, see? Well, let's get all this now. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now, the lesson tonight is, I don't know anybody that starts off fully persuaded. Not even Abraham and Sarah. They were more easily persuaded when they thought they could help. But when they found out, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Say, okay. What the best experience from my personal life is when they said, they diagnosed me with that heart condition that there is no cure for. And that wasn't deadly as long as I took the medication. But they did say there was absolutely no cure for it. How many of you knows our Father doesn't believe in no cure? See, our Father doesn't believe in that, see. But, and you know the story how I was taking that medication, and we had a man come through and give a good testimony about how he believed God and flushed his medicine down the toilet, and he's been healed ever since. And so I went home, well, I believe God, and I flushed my medicine down the toilet, and I nearly died 7 days later. And I, what do? You know, you try and get an appointment with Pastor Dave. That's what you do. So, why isn't this working? That guy gave his testimony right here in this pulpit, you know. And Dave, he told me the best thing. He says, listen, he said, God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you flush your medicine down the toilet. God is obligated to manifest your healing the moment you believe it. You need to renew that prescription and take it faithfully and give thanks to God that he's put that kind of wisdom and help in the earth. But every time you take that medicine, take your spiritual medicine. Get you some scriptures, and here we go back. Here we go again. How did you become fully persuaded? Can I just say it? It won't happen by accident. It won't happen by living another year in this world and giving all your attention to this world. This world is programmed the opposite of God's way. You got to give your soil the time to nurture God's word. What is Mark 4 about? What does the cares of this life have to do? It's because it takes your attention away from the seed. It takes your attention. You know, your hope becomes weak and dim. Your vision, his voice becomes less clear. The things, what's that song? The things of this world go strangely dim. Well, the things of that world can grow strangely dim. If all your attention is focused on this world, your soil, you are designed to produce fruit from the Word of God. God made you that way. But if all your attention is to the world, you're not nurturing the seed. So understand here, when it says, I used to think, man, that Abraham, and I do, don't get me wrong, I honor Abraham and Sarah, I do. But I used to think they were some different kind of human. Because they were fully persuaded, and I'm full of doubts and fears. And then he finally showed it to me. He says, they didn't start off that way. No, they thought I was joking with them. They thought it. They didn't start off fully persuaded, but they became fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Getting back to that heart condition. So I started doing what Dave said. I started... Every time I'd take that medicine, which was 4 hours a day, four times a day, I would also quote two or three scriptures. He blesses my bread and blesses my water and takes sickness away from the midst of me. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. And it might not be the same verses, but I would just quote scripture. This went on for a period of 2 years. Say out loud, 2 years. Most Christians will not endure with confession 2 days, 2 weeks, much less 2 years. Now, endurance is the key, okay? Not just in prayer. Now, he's added a little more definition. Our endurance now is measured by our consistency. Mm-hmm. Okay. All I'm telling you is, he weaned me off that medicine. You've heard this story many times. He began weaning me off of that medicine. Now, science still today will tell Gary, if I go in there and they see on my chart, which it's there, that I have been diagnosed with this heart condition, they'll say, are you taking your medicine? I'll say, no. And they'll say, well, when did you quit? May of 1998. Why aren't you dead? Because if you don't take your medicine, it is usually fatal. Why aren't you dead? I believe God, and it's accounted to me for righteousness. I believed that what God promised, He is able to perform. Now, that same truth applies to every promise. We just read it, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. There's another scripture, all the promises in Christ are yea. That means yes. And amen means so be it. Yes, so be it. And the promise is sure to all the seed. And it's by grace, on purpose, so you can receive it by faith, that the promise be sure to all the seed. So let's just make a covenant with ourselves now. I'm not going to pray, but just think about this. Whatever He has said to you, or let's say it this way. Okay, let me understand again. Alan is facing a mountain that's easy for us all to see right now. A lot of mountains you can't see. I already had a high opinion of Alan Taylor, but if anything, it's even higher now. Because I admire the courage. When I use that with him, he says, no, it's not courage. I don't care what he says. It is courage too. I admire that courage to come out here. And was that not eloquent this morning? I mean, my wife is taking notes like crazy. I go, you don't take notes when I preach. Anyway. Already told Alan that. I said, hey man, you did good. My wife's taking notes like crazy. She's already heard all my stuff. But Alan's got a mountain. How many of you know that mountain's going to move? Because of Alan? Not really. It's because he is faithful who promised. And all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. And they're sure to all the seed, including Alan Taylor. That mountain will move. And he'll come out the other end of this thing without even the smell of smoke on him. You watch and see. Amen? So let's make a covenant. Say, Lord, I don't know where I am in this walk. I don't know where I am. Maybe I'm not fully persuaded. It's okay. They laugh. God didn't kick them out. I can become fully persuaded. It won't happen by accident. You're going to have to dust off your blueprint. You're going to have to get in the Word yourself. You may have to spend a little time walking the floor with confession. Whatever works for you. It's not my job to be your Holy Ghost. But I will tell you this, if you don't change anything, if you don't change anything you're doing, not likely it's going to change what you're receiving. God does not have you studying your blueprint so you can figure out how you can help Him. God has you studying your blueprint to keep hope alive and to become fully persuaded that He who gave the blueprint can perform the blueprint through you. Now that was well said. That's the truth. In fact, one of the biggest problems you'll ever have is trying to help God. When we were going through another situation, another time, I had my instructions on how the ministry was to operate. He didn't tell me about a big financial deficit that was going to come. And we went progressively over a period of years, about $47,000 in debt, doing what he told me. My mind generated 100 ways, 100 plans, how to get out of that mess, how to fix it. But not one of those did God tell me to do. And when I would go to him, the silence was deafening. And I'd like to tell you that I was in perfect faith and perfect peace. I said wonderful faith statements like this: you have ruined me. I had wonderful credit before I started obeying you. My credit rating used to be zama zama up there. Now I couldn't get a loan to buy a pair of shoes, you know. Obeying you has ruined my credit. Never going to be able to, you know, yeah. How does Dave say that? My lower lip was interfering with the gas pedal trying to drive, you know. But yet there was, I had so many ideas how to fix it. I know why they sell, quote, sand from the Jordan River. I know why they sell miracle wallets that will never go empty, my brothers. I know why they go back to the law and put people under the law to generate the money. I understand, and 100 other things, but none of it. And I kept thinking, I must have done something wrong, this and that. And I would pray and listen, and I'd heard him before. The silence was deafening. I didn't know what else to do except keep doing what he had told me to do. But that process kept taking us farther into debt. I finally made up my mind. If we go under, I'm going to go under obeying him. And I'm not going to generate an Ishmael. I just made that my mind. And I think Angie was working at the time with us. Suddenly we got this, and I'm shortening this. We got a very unusual gift from somebody in another country, Australia. It was $5,000. The first one was $5,000. Went back and looked, and the most this man had ever given ever at one time was $300. I figured he made a mistake. Accidentally hit an extra zero at the website. You know, you can get, he did it through the website. So I arranged my time to call him. Because, you know, 5 in the evening here is like 2 in the morning there. So I had to be up to like 2 in the morning to talk to the guy. He says, "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, fine. How's your family?" "Fine." "How's your cat?" "How's your grass?" "Why are you calling?" "Oh, how come you to give so much?" Finally, "How come you to give so much?" "No," I said, at first I said, "Well, we received your gift. We are so thankful, but I'm afraid you might have made a mistake. I'm afraid you might have hit an extra zero. Did you really intend to give $5,000? I'll never forget. He says, "You scared me half to death. I thought maybe I gave $50,000. He said, "Yeah, I intended to give $5,000. I said, "Why so much?" "Oh, I've been saving up." That's all he said. That began a year-long process of these unusual, astounding, large gifts to the ministry. Another person gave $7,000. Wasn't very long. Somebody got a $100,000 inheritance, and they gave $10,000. These large gifts, and every time, put it on the bill. And in 1 year's time, 1 year, we were debt-free. Got us out, just boom, and we've been debt-free ever since. Then it finally dawned on my lightning-quick mind. You know why I didn't hear a word from God when I was seeking Him? You know why the silence was deafening? I didn't need to hear a word. I already had a word. What He wanted me to do was be fully persuaded that what He had... And you know, He did it exactly the way He had told me. Now, this is one of those personal things. He had told me, I'm not against appeal letters and all that kind of stuff. I just know what He told me, not to send them. And not to let anybody know the needs of the ministry. He says, if I'll obey Him, He said He would speak to the hearts of the people He chose to support us and the ministry. And I look back at it now and I go, I didn't need another word. I needed to believe that word because that is exactly how He did it. We didn't do anything. He just spoke to Peter in Australia, and He spoke to the businessman in Florida, and He spoke to the ones that got there. He did it. What He has promised, He is able also to perform. Hallelujah. He doesn't have you studying your blueprint to figure out how you can help Him. He wants you studying your blueprint to keep that hope alive and become fully persuaded that what He has promised, He is able to perform. My part in that, just follow instructions. If He says don't send out appeal letters, don't send out appeal letters. If He says don't charge for the tapes, you don't charge for the tapes and that type of thing. Our part is really usually pretty easy, except on the emotions.